So you all explained who God is like. Let me just take 30 seconds and explain why, again, I'm busy with this series. Because so many times I notice that as teachers and as preachers, and specifically for society referred to as postmodern, beyond the norm, beyond the modern sense, beyond those who are straight thinkers and box type of people, we have a group of people today that are non-box people. And we like to understand things broader than just exactly what I was taught. And specifically for people like us, we like a practical application of whatever I'm taught or whatever I learn. So today, if you switch on TBN or buy a book from Joyce Meyer or CD series from anyone else, Louis Giglio or anyone else, you'll see that everything is extremely practical. We get so many teachings about how to live your life as a Christian. And so many teachings, and which is really important because the Bible says a lot about that. Or how to actually rely on God's provision. And we get many of those, especially on TBN, which I avoid usually. And we get many other teachings, just on practical, how to strengthen yourself in God. And how to live your best life now. You've seen that those books. Many of those things, how to be a ruler, and how to be a king in God, and all those things. And we study so many things about ourselves and how we live righteous, but we forget actually that the whole of the purpose of the Bible is a self-revelation of God. So the reason I'm sharing this is just again so we can see who is our God, who is our God, how God is, and to get to know God. Like Paul said, for me to live as Christ, in one other place he said, everything in my entire existence is just to get to know God. I forget everything, all my achievements, all my status, or where I come from, the fact that I'm a Benjamite, a Jew, a Pharisee, a teacher, an old man, everything. I forget all those things quite simply just to know God. So tonight is again just like that, just to get to know God. So last week, we looked 2 weeks ago about the fact that God is transcendent, a Father in heaven, the Father who is out there, Father who is bigger than us, a God who is holy, who is omnipotent, who can do everything. He has no lines. Like you did say to us tonight, God doesn't have lines. God can do everything. God can live outside our lines. The fact that God is transcendent in nature also says that God knows everything. He sees everything. God actually is everywhere simultaneous. We cannot run away from God. We cannot hide from God, David, Psalm 139. Also, God is an everlasting God, a God who will never, ever cease to exist. And that is God. God is so much bigger than us. But thank God that God is also our Father. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. The fact that God is our Father, our Abba, our Daddy, our personal God who loves us personally and who's aware of us personally. And just before I start, when we say something like that, I know that many of us, we sort of cringe because for 20 or maybe 15 or 18 years or maybe just was 5 years of your life, we live in a fatherless society, and for many of us who actually know a father, our fathers may not, your father may not have exactly represented God in fullness. So before we can actually get to know God as Father, you must actually get over the fact that your picture of God as Father might be seriously skewed. So for the reason, some of you that don't have the confidence ever to go to God and say, God, I like a car, but I'd like a good car, God. I really like a good car. Thank you, God, let's use something which none of us, anyway. God, I want a golfy, God, but I really, thank you for a golfy, God, but I'd like a good golf, God. I'd like a golf that won't crash and gaan staan op in every second day. God, I like a good car. And you actually expect God to give you, like you did said, a car better than you actually asked for. But many of us don't have that confidence quite simply to go to God and say, God, I want this, because you were taught in your life that whatever you want, you must work for yourself, otherwise you'll never get it. So there's a massive part of you that cannot relate to God as one who is generous in giving more than you expect. And maybe God is raining down on you and throwing ropes in your direction, but you're not looking, quite simply because your picture of a father is not right. Or when you mess up, maybe you didn't get an A+, because, yes, even in the Western Cape, you didn't get 105% I don't know how you can get 105% for mathematics. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, but maybe where you come from, if you didn't reach your 95% and you came home and your father accidentally exploded in your head because you could have done better. Jy is 'n van 'n merwe en jy moet beter doen. You are better than the other people, and God, your father actually screams at you. Or maybe just disses you a bit because you didn't do good enough. When you come to God after you messed up, or maybe you just didn't were perfect, you expect God the Father to have the same response to you. Like Neil said tonight. You come to God and you are so aware of all your faults, because when you went home, your faults were usually discussed and not celebrated in terms of your victories and what you actually like. You're welcome as my prodigal son. Doesn't matter where you stayed with the pigs last night. You're welcome. Why? Because you are my son. So many of us have those pictures. And for those of you still struggling with that, I really want to encourage you to actually just, I want to say that you don't necessarily need a therapist for that. I want to just say that. You need God and good friends. You need God and good friends to actually just in God's presence to facilitate God's healing and just a restoration of God's, the picture of who God is. Really want to encourage you. So before we start tonight, I just wanted to say that many of us have wrong pictures of God. So when we speak about God as a good father, the only picture you have is that which you've either seen on TV, or maybe some of you have actually never known a father. You only know a mother. And I want to say that God's grace, God is not shocked by the fact that he must reveal himself to you. All I want to ask you is a simple prayer tonight when you go home and for the next while until you have a picture of God. Father, show me yourself. Show me. And a prayer that I prayed at a stage in my life, because all of us, none of us have perfect fathers. We have good fathers, but none of them are perfect. And, you know, many of us will become fathers soon or whatever, but you're not a perfect father either. You won't be a perfect father. So it's not a thing that your dad isn't good enough. It's quite simply that we live on earth, but we only have one perfect father who says, be perfect like I am perfect. Be mature like I'm mature. So just ask a simple prayer. Pray, Father, please father me. Reveal yourself to me. So let me pray just before I start. And I was told the other day by Kaya that I go off on many tangents during my preaching. Kaya. But he said he enjoys it. He just says I go on many tangents. I just did now. Point proved. I'm going to pray quickly just so we can stay with the points. Father, I thank you, God, that we can, like Jesus said, pray, our Father. You are our Father. And God, tonight we know that we are in the Father's house. This is the place where your glory dwells. This is a place where mercy is shed. This is the place, God, where there's fullness of joy and peace in your presence. This is a place, God, where whosoever is welcome, doesn't matter where they come from, because, God, you say that you are the Father of all your people. You are the Father of all creation. And today, God, we thank you that this is the Father's world, and we are welcome in your world. We thank you that because you are Father, God, that you are aware of us, you provide for us, you secure our destiny and our purpose, God, and you direct us, you love us, and you also correct us when we go wrong because you love us. So we thank you. And tonight, God, that is the Father that we come to. And we ask, Holy Spirit, and then the word tonight, that you will reveal yourself to us and lock us into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is it all wakker? Are you all awake? Okay, great. So the first point slide I'd like us to look at is the fact that, first of all, the Old Testament, while that slide is on, I'm going to give a better background. Straight through the Old Testament, quite frequently, God is referred to as our Father. Even the prophet Joel, his name means God is Father. So the whole message of Joel is, listen, guys, you've been shaken up badly, you've been messed up badly, post-exilic, guys, but I want you to know that I'm your Father and I'll restore whatever was lost. Even though you messed up, I want to say that I love you and I'll bring you back on track. The whole message of the prophet is, I'm your Father of the nation Israel, specifically Judah, but I want you to know that I'm really your Father and I love you immensely. You messed up, I'll restore, I'll build up, because I love you, even though you messed up. Whole message. And so many times in the prophet Isaiah, God is referred to as our Father. Jeremiah as well says the same thing. He says, behold, I'm your Father, Israel. I'm your maker. I'm the potter, and you are the clay, and you all are my people, because I made you. And basically three things that is implied in the Old Testament teaching, just in the Old Testament, straight to Deuteronomy, from the point where God actually got Moses to lead the Israelite out of Egypt. From that point, when the law was given, the whole law was given in the context that God is our Father. And you know, in Proverbs chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 12, if you don't know the Bible well, ignore all the references. But straight throughout there, it's implied right from the beginning when Moses gave the law, it says, Israel, I'm your father. And because you are my children, I treat you like children and I discipline you when you go wrong because I love you. Because I know what is good for you and I know what's going to hurt you badly. So I want to keep you on track. And if you miss it, like any dad, if you go too close to the pool constantly, you can't swim, I'm going to rub you on your buttocks a bit and just get you away from the thing because I want you to get away from the hot plate and from this everything that's going to hurt you because I love you. So the whole context of the law was given in the Old Testament in a personal relationship, God as a father who loves and keeps us on track. Secondly, the Bible implies that we are all offspring of God, quoted in Acts chapter 17, but the whole Old Testament speaks about us being offsprings of God, literally being children of God, that all mankind is the offspring of God. And like Psalm 24 says, the whole created order, like pray it now, is our Father's world in a very liberal, in a very direct sense, because God is the Father that makes, He is the origin of all things, and we are made in His image. So that is the Old Testament teaching. And then Psalm 103, Old Testament as well, it says that, behold, now God, you are our Father, and we are your children. God, and as a father pities His children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. So it speaks in even the Old Testament, a very personal, very rich sense that God is actually interested in individual people as the father. David related to God as a father because David grew up as a shepherd boy. His father even forgot about him. But David related to God as his father in a very personal sense, constantly. So straight throughout the Old Testament, God is pictured as a father who is interested, who provides, who cares, who disciplines, who has mercy and pity on whoever is his people. And again, that all people are God's people. All people are God's children, constantly. It was the language that God initiated even as Moses led the people out of the Old Testament. So when the New Testament came, Jesus actually, in a very real sense, is uniquely God's son. I mean, the first words that Jesus uttered, what was the first words that Jesus uttered, actually recorded biblically? He was in the temple. He was 12 years old. His mom and dad were still alive. His mom and dad actually left, and the whole community, it wasn't as though they rejected him. They just actually left. And I remember once being lost on the beach while my mom and dad was in the sea. My mom is here tonight. It was a very terrifying moment. But Jesus wasn't terrified at all. And when after 3 days, his parents eventually, in fear, the whole community came looking for him, eventually found him, he said, his first words recorded in the Bible, why are you so stressed out? I'm about my father's house. I'm about my father's business. The first words Jesus said was, listen, I know my father, and I'm here with my father. I have to be here. This is my father's house. The last recorded words of Jesus before his death, the same. He hung on the cross and he says, Father, in your spirit, in your hands I commit my spirit. Receive me, Dad, I'm coming home. So the whole, and in between those two sayings of Jesus, everything is recorded. It's all about my Father. Jesus said, when you see me, Thomas, you see the Father. Hebrews records the same. He says that Jesus is the perfect picture of the mold of God, and the perfect picture of the radiance of the glory of God. Jesus portrays the Father perfectly. None of the Old Testament people could do that, the writer of Hebrews says. But Jesus himself actually resembles the Father, shows the Father, portrays the Father in fullness, in his nature. And when Jesus taught on the Father, actually spoke of the Father, it wasn't so much just in the fact that that we are derived from him in terms that we are his offspring. It was much, much more personal than that. It was always when he spoke about himself or when he spoke about the disciples, Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7, the Bergrede van Jesus, the mountain sermon on the mount of Jesus. The whole sermon on the mount is actually packaged in the fact that God is our Father and he knows about you. So when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 1, he says, when you do good deeds, Don't be like the heathen and like the other people who do good deeds to be seen. Because what does he say? He said, do it in the light that your Father sees you. Do it like he does in secret, generously to everyone. Because why? He's going to be the one who rewards you. So it's a picture of our relationship. So Jesus taught us to live in relation to his Father like he does. Jesus said, the Jews in the book of John, before he was crucified, three times sought to kill Jesus. They were out to kill Jesus, and specifically the religious community of the day, because they were bringing law and Jesus was bringing grace, because they came from the Father of grace, John chapter 1. So when Jesus went about teaching them, and they were angry at him, he says, why do you kill me? Why do you want to stone me? He says, are you angry because of the words of my Father that I speak to you? Are you angry because of the deeds of my Father that I do? Why are you angry? And they said, no, because you make yourself equal to God. And he was, because Jesus said that I'm the Son of God. I am a Son of God. I'm this Son of God specifically. So Jesus' whole life on earth, Jesus came to represent us the Father. I think I'd like us just to read that scripture. John chapter 14. I could have read so many other scriptures tonight from the book of John specifically, where Jesus says what is his purpose on earth. The context here is that Jesus said, listen, I'm going to go away. It's good that I'm going to go away, because I have to go away to prepare a place for you. And for those of you who read it still this way, I'd like you to read from the last bit of chapter 13 and see the context in which Jesus, because Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to go to heaven to build a mansion for you and we're going to all live happily together. He says, no, I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. And then he speaks about the Holy Spirit who will come and indwell all the believers. So he's saying that. He says, that is the place I'm going to come and dwell with each one of you personally. And what he's saying is, like the Father dwells with me, in me, through the Spirit, so I'll dwell with you. But Jesus says, I'm going to go away. And then Thomas freaks out. And Thomas is like, no, Jesus, you have to. He's got a see type of personality. He needs all the details. And he says, Jesus, what do you mean? How's that going to happen? When is it going to happen? And how's it going to happen? Why are you going away? And he says, no, I'm going to go away to prepare a place. And he says, but just show us the Father when you go to the Father, and everything will be all right. And then Jesus says, Thomas, he who's seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own behalf, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works that I do. So Jesus had this very immense relationship with the Father. And two things we can learn from Jesus in this sense. First of all, that Jesus on earth had a very personal relationship with the Father. Secondly, Jesus says that I come to personally show and reveal the Father to you. Second thing, Jesus comes to reveal the Father. So for those of you who really, like myself, like all of us at one time, have to start doing it, even those of you with very good fathers and perfect fathers, I want you to actually, if you want to know, get to know the Father, the place where you start is studying the Gospels and then later on the Epistles to see the Father. Because Jesus himself represents the Father. He's good and benevolent and kind. He's got time for everyone, even for the washouts and even for the religious leaders of the day. Jesus has time for everyone, which means the Father has time for everyone. And the Bible says that whoever comes to Jesus, no man will push away. I want to say the same to you. Whoever approaches the Father will by no means push you away or say you must fix yourself. I'm so glad about the word that God gave to Neil today. You don't have to fix yourself to come to the Father. The Father is happy to receive you always, just like you are. Okay. And the last thing about the Father that we see in Jesus, or actually something we know from Jesus' life, is the purpose why Jesus came is not just to portray the Father to us, but secondly, it is to reconcile us to the Father, to redeem us, to buy us back out of slavery, and to bring us close in the Father's face. That is the reason why Jesus came, to reconcile us to the Father. And if you read John chapter 17, and it's such a beautiful prayer of Jesus. The whole prayer of Jesus is about this one thing, that Father, the glory that I had with you, the unity that I have with you, the relationship, the personal relationship as Father as Son that I have with you, I pray that my disciples will have exactly the same relationship. That is the prayer of Jesus. And that is really the heart of God. The Father sent the Son, John chapter 3. God the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son to save those who were away from him and to reconcile them to himself. Simple thing. The Father really desires to father you personally and to know you personally, each one of you. Okay. Are you still with me tonight? Baie, baie mooi. Then the second one, maybe as we go on to the second one, just want to mention this as well. When Jesus speaks about the Father, and even the New Testament writer speaks about the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the context is actually beautiful. Because Jesus says that obviously the picture that he holds before us is a Father and a Son. And Luke chapter, I'm going to read it to you so that I don't miss anyone when I refer to it. Luke chapter 11, verse 11 to 13. He constantly refers to fathers in their relationship and acquainting or equating earthly fathers to the heavenly Father or something like that as a model, as a type of God. And in verse 11 he says, if a son asks for a bread from any father among you, will they give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? The answer is obvious, no. Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Matthew quotes it. How much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? So what Jesus is saying here is even a father, earthly father, in the best that he can be in our earthly terms, a good father, is evil in comparison to God. Not that they are evil in nature, but just in comparison to the benevolence and the beneficence of God, the goodness of God, the kindness and the mercy of God, even in comparison, even if they're good and perfect in our eyes on earth, that God is so much better as a father and so much more loving and perfect in nature. That's what he's saying, that he really loves and he really cares. So the next one, speaking about Jesus, is speaking about the believers, God is the Father in a specific sense as to all believers. We actually learn so much of God in this sense. Most of the New Testament writers, because of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, we see that God is in a very special sense, just like, exactly like, in a sense, Jesus is the Son of God. So God relates to us as his Son because of his Spirit which dwells in us. We are born of him. So from that moment onwards, for those who are born again, God really actually relates to you personally as a son. Now, I'm going to share a bit later about on this, but God is obviously the Father of all mankind, and he cares and provides for all mankind. But the difference is this. To us who are in Christ Jesus, to us who are reconciled to the Father, God is the Father, but we respond to his fatherhood. We make ourselves sons of God as our Father in heaven. We respond to his fatherhood. So there's a relationship, there's a dual relationship of God there. And that's why God is so precious. Why God sees our relationship as sons so precious in this very sense. The Bible says, Jesus taught us that we should pray, our Father, your Father. Jesus constantly spoke to those following him as your Father, as your Dad, as a God who loves you constantly. But specifically tonight, I want to refer to a scripture. I think it might be up there. Sorry. I think it might be up there. Let's just read the three scriptures up there. John chapter 1. But to all who did receive him, who believed in the name of the Son Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. Very specific sense. Children of God. Who were born not of the blood, nor of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. It says that you were born not just in a natural sense, but you were born spiritually. Your spirits were regenerated inside of you. God says to those, he refers to them as his specific children in a real sense. Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. have been reconciled to God, for through him we have both access in one Spirit to the Father. Three things we see that Jesus did for us, for all of us, and that's how we became children of God. The first thing is that Christ Jesus, first of all, brought us close to the Father. We were once far away, have been brought near. Secondly, the Bible says we have been reconciled. The term reconciliation means literally we were made at peace with God. We were once enemies of God, and the fact that we were in rebellion towards God. Now all of a sudden God has forgiven us and we are at peace with him. And the third thing, and this is what I actually want to focus on, that we have access to the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is what I really like us to grab hold of tonight. And if you're here tonight, and maybe at times you feel, this is specifically a thing, if you feel every time you come to God, you're not good enough, like the word that God gave to us through Neil tonight. If you feel that when you come to God, you just have to check yourself whether you're good enough, or sort yourself, you've got a mindset, and I know this is generally true for the academic type of people sitting in front of me. You must check whether your performance is good enough when you come to the Father, whether you're working hard enough, and you sort of have maybe a checklist for sins that I do the following in God. Specifically for you, if this is relevant for you, I'd like you to hear what the Word of God says. Because nowhere here does it say anything about your action. It says here that Jesus, by Jesus, you have been brought near to God. He brought you to the Father. Secondly, the Bible says that through Jesus Christ, you have been made to be at peace with God, reconciled to God. God is no longer angry. And thirdly, the Bible says that you don't have to do any tricks or any rhythm or any method to come to God. The Bible says that you have access, free access, by the blood of Christ. Hebrews says exactly the same thing. So this is what it means to be a son of God. Now, I know many of us, like I said, we don't grow up in a home that is perfect. But most of us at least know that when you come home after school, you don't have to knock to ask permission. You don't have to make an appointment to come to your house. You just walk into your house. Now, I know for some of you, it might not be like that, but that is the extreme case, and that's why I said I'd like to pray with you afterwards tonight, because for us, for those of you, you have a big mind shift to make. But for most of you, you know that when you came home after school, or even if you just go home on a weekend, you don't really have to make an appointment to go home. You just go home. Why? Because it's your home. For those of you married, you had to do the leaving and cleaving bit. We deal with you differently. But for those of you, you come home to your father, and you are always welcome. Your dad says welcome. Sometimes your dad doesn't stand up. But then it's fine. You're still welcome in home. You go to your room. You go to your fridge. And you get yourself something to eat out of your fridge. It's your house. And in the same, in exactly the same sense, and even so much more, the Father always celebrates your homecoming because you are always home. It's your house. When you come to the Father, the Bible says that you are always welcome. There's no anger. There's no frustration. There's nothing. You're welcome to walk into your Father's house. You are always welcome. That's what I love about David. And I don't want to speak about sin tonight, but maybe just because Neil mentioned it. I want to say that it doesn't matter where you come from. Even like David, King David, who had a close relationship with God. But he messed up because he was a man and he didn't watch himself. He got lured into temptation, conceived a baby from another man's wife, killed the man in battle, and then acted as though nothing happened while God was waiting for him to come home. And when the word of God came and he got rebuked, and actually he didn't seek for it, the word came to him. He was convicted. And then he just said, God, yes, I messed up badly. But the Bible says that David washed himself and he went to his father's house. He went to the temple. I want you to know that that's how God relates to you. You are always welcome home because the Bible says that you always have access. You are always reconciled in Jesus Christ. And that you are always brought close to God through Jesus Christ. Do we all get that? You are always welcome in the Father's house. Not your performance, Not your works, not anything. It's because of the grace, because Jesus brought you close. It is in Christ Jesus that just like Jesus was the Son of God, so you are the Son of God. Let's read that scripture. I could have chosen Galatians as well. But finishing up with the second point, God is the Father of all believers. In Romans chapter 8, we read, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we can cry out, Daddy, Abba Father." And then it says, "The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God." I want you to get this. The Bible says that like Jesus prayed, Jesus was the first one to actually record it biblically who had this very personal language with God, this daddy language. Abba literally means my personal daddy, my own daddy. Loose translation, but that's the closest you can get to it. So Jesus had that "you are my daddy" relationship with God the Father, and he prayed publicly like that. And his disciples obviously caught on. But that's when, in John chapter 17, when Jesus says, "Daddy," just tonight, "the relationship I have with you, I want my disciples to have as well. I want them to have the same social unity that I have with you. I want them to have it with one another, but with you as well. I want them to have this closeness, this unique knowledge of you. I want them to have this personal experience of your love and your affection." And that's what he prayed. So, in Romans, Paul, as a revelation, because he wasn't there when Jesus prayed the prayer, but he had the same revelation of God. He says, because we have the Spirit of God inside of us, he speaks about the Holy Spirit as a spirit of adoption, of an anointing, the spirit of sonship, not childship. I have to just mention something here. When God speaks about us as sons, adoption here, he is not referring to you being an orphan adopted into his kingdom. He's referring to you being a child in his house who now have become 21, in a sense. You have become of age. You're no longer a child, you're now an adult. So he says we have this relationship that Jesus had, we have with him. A personal relationship where there's an intimate, close relationship. I want to call friendship a relationship, but not like a buddy relationship. More like Abraham and God was friends, that reverential covenant relationship. This is what Jesus said. We have the same relationship with God because of the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. And tonight, for you, if you don't feel that closeness, you are a child of God, you have a relationship with God, but you don't feel that intimacy, then obviously afterwards we would love to come and just pray with you, that mind shift would come, that you can feel at home fully, like Jesus, you can fully represent him because you have the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus. You can have that same confidence. What does it mean if God is your Father in this personal sense, in the sense that like Jesus, we are children of God, sons of God? I actually just want to flight a few verses up there, and I'm not going to read them, but I'd just like us to get the holistic picture of this relationship. First of all, it speaks of unconditional love. Okay? First of all, it speaks of unconditional love. The Bible says there, "With everlasting arms, I've drawn you close." With everlasting love. God says, "I love you immensely." Obviously not based on performance, not based on your knowledge, not based on whether you're a pastor or a cell leader, or whether you're a doctor or whether you're a cleaner. Unconditional love because of who you are. Secondly, it speaks about the provision. Because he is Father, he provides. And this is what I love in Matthew chapter 6. God provides all our needs. God knows. The Bible says that your heavenly Father knows what you need. He really knows. He really knows what you need. And I know that the old Reformed people used to say, God knows your needs and he provides on your needs, but not in your greeds. I want to say that is not exactly biblically. Because in Philippians 4, he says that my Father will provide in all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus and glory. Not that you barely make it, because you fully represent him. Now, I'm not saying that God wants you to be a millionaire and God wants you to live your best life. No, I'm not saying any of those things. I just say that God is a generous God. And that's the whole picture that Jesus was showing his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and 6. That he is a generous, beneficent God. That means a God who is benevolent and good and kind, a generous God. God is a generous, spontaneous God. He is not reserved. He is not stingy. He is a generous God. So he will provide in all your needs according to his riches. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. With that, I obviously just have to mention that God wants us to be content wherever we are because he knows our provision. That is the context of the scripture. Third one, God has a purpose for you. It says, like a father who shoots, like a man shoots an arrow from a bow, so the father shoots his children in the purpose which he has for you. The father is the one who knows your purpose because he created you and he knows exactly what you can do and what you should do. So there's a purpose. So there's no need for you after you finish your studies to go overseas to London for 3 years to find out who you are. Your father knows. For you to know your purpose, just close the door and go on your knees and ask the father and he will direct you in the way in which you should go, the Bible says. Then the next one, father is the one who disciplines us. I could have quoted a few scriptures there. Because he loves you, he will discipline you. Scripture that Janelle actually brought tonight, that God disciplines us in many ways. If we don't listen, then biblically speaking, we do hear because the Father rebukes us in his love. And if we don't listen, then he corrects us in his love. And he does speak about difficult situations and pain and stuff that we do experience until we listen and say, Father, I got the picture. Can you bail me out here? And then the Father says, yeah, I will steer you out. You'll still walk another while in this situation. And then lastly, God is a family man. And this is what we were going to a bit later. But God is a family man. And many of us like to relate to God, or some of us here tonight like to relate to God as my father and my daddy. And you want to have your personal relationship with God in your room and all those things. I want to specifically say that it says, God, Jesus taught us not to say my Father in heaven, but he taught us to say our Father in heaven. A basis for the relationship with God is that you're born into a family. Ephesians 3, 14, God the Father from whom all families in heaven and earth is named. God is a family man. And the whole context of the whole New Testament scripture and the teachings of the epistle of the church is that we belong to a family. And I'm going to speak about sonship, but let me just throw it now. Actually, the Bible teaches us that sons, the word Hebrew word for son in the Old Testament, literally means builder, one who builds on the estate of his father, one who continues to build into the. So I know that Deval this morning spoke on stewardship, and it's a pity that I wasn't there because my wife and I were away. But you can maybe just get that whole point. The whole purpose of sonship is servitude of the Father. Then lastly, last point just on our Father before we get practical, is that God is the Father of all people everywhere. And I want us to, as believers, and maybe tonight you're just visiting because you were invited here, but I want us all to understand this, that God is a Father of all people everywhere. He relates to the Father because just as he loves you, he loves everyone because he is the maker. The Bible says, calls him Hebrews, he is the father of all spirits. Everyone that is made is created by God in his likeness. And the Bible teaches even that Jesus in Luke chapter 18, Jesus even teaches that God is the father of all people and therefore that all people are heirs of God's kingdom, regardless whether they relate to God as father or not. But God relates to all people as his father. And that's why the Bible says that God's heart really breaks for the world. And that's why God was actually moved with compassion when he sent his son Jesus to the cross to draw all people to himself. That's why Jesus gave the commission from the Father that we should go to all people everywhere, preach the gospel to everyone, because like Timothy says, Paul writes to Timothy, it's God's desire that all people come to the knowledge of the truth, that all people are reconciled to the Father. It's really God's heart, because God really immensely loves each one individually. He loves every person, wherever they are. It's God's heart to love all people. He really cares for everyone. And this is the amazing thing, that even though someone doesn't relate to God as his father, God relates to that person as his father. The Bible says in Matthew again that Jesus actually, that God the Father provides for all people, for the just and the unjust. That God makes his rain and sunshine on everyone. Literally that God provides for not just for all people, for all creatures, whether they relate to him as sons or not. That's why I think for all of us, the picture of the prodigal son is so amazing. Because he is the father who loves the son, who is aware that the son is going to mess up, and the son messes up, and he walks and he takes the whole money of the whole estate, and he goes and blows it on people and pigs until there's nothing left. And eventually he wakes up and he sees, like, listen, I don't have anything left. I'm poor. I actually am hungry, and I don't even get the pig's food. But my father is so good that even the servants in his house are fat. I want to go home. And then he stands up and he walks home saying that, Father, I'm going to come and I'm going to serve you. And the Bible says that this is the picture of God the Father. And this is what I'd like us to hold in our head. That this son who deliberately walked away and who deliberately, according to the Jewish culture, is stink and should go through ceremonial cleansing before he approaches any Jewish man. God the Father sees him from far and he runs because he sees the boy is coming home. Calls a party, has a massive celebration, cleanses his son. He says, son, let's go on with life. You come back, get a hold, everyone, let's have a party. And this is the heart of the Father, that God is really the Father of all people. Whether they experience his love of a Father, whether they actually, because you know what Jesus actually calls the Pharisees and the people, he says that you are of your father, the devil. Do you know why? Because by their choice, they relate. They are sons of disobedience, the Bible says. They literally rebel against God's rule. But God the Father is still their father in the real sense. He still loves them. He still provides. And he continues with his faithfulness whether they are faithful or not. So I'd just like us to just have a heart shift here. And God is the father of all people. That's why on all our banners and everywhere and every time we say that's funny, like, nah. All the banners and everything we have, we say this is the Father's house because this is really how we relate. The Bible says that my house, God the Father says, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus gets angry if nonsense goes into his house, in the Father's house, John chapter 2, because zeal for God's house consumes him. That's how God relates to us. We are God's house and everyone is welcome in the Father's house. Whether they relate to God as Father or not, they are welcome in the Father's house. Can we have a mind shift? The Father isn't afraid of stinking, pig-sleeping people, the prodigal son. So therefore, we are not afraid of anyone like that. Are we fine with that? Everyone is welcome in the Father's house. God the Father is the father of all witches and warlocks. God the Father is the father of all druggies. God the Father is the father of all prostitutes, of all people everywhere. And the gospel is for all people everywhere. Everyone is welcome in the Father's house because God loves all people from wherever you are, whatever your national background is. God loves everyone because all people are his offspring. Like 17:28. So that's how God relates to us. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of heaven and earth from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. God is the Father in a personal sense for everyone. And he's waiting for all his sons to go back in. So tonight, this is a vision sharing evening. Just share in God the Father. Practically, four principles from this. Practical, very short, four principles from this. I'll be done in 10 minutes. First, how do we relate to God? Well, first of all, God is the God of all people and he's our Father. So this makes this our Father's house. And a point number one of concern is we are children of God. And this is the reason for this whole sermon series. So we can relate to God as our Father. Point number one, communion with the Father. This is what we do. Because we are children of God, the Father reconciled. The whole purpose of why Jesus came to earth was to show us the Father and to reconcile us to the Father and to redeem us back to the Father, to buy us back to the Father. To have relationship, so we can have communion with the Father. Indeed, the Bible says our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore with confidence, with boldness, with courage and with full assurance draw near to the throne of grace so we can have this relationship with the Father. Practically, how do we do that? How do we do that? Yes, individually, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 6, you close your door and pray to the Father in secret so the Father in secret can reward you. But as a body, as a family of God, this is how we do it. First of all, our Sunday celebration is communion with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. So that's how we do it. I want you to understand that biblically, communion with the Father in celebration purposes is celebration. It is us coming to worship God. I know for many of us, it took me a while to actually get this. I thought, this is how I related to church. I come to church, and we sing songs to God, and then we wait for the real thing. We wait for Fred to preach, and then, or see us to preach, or whoever to preach. You're waiting for it, because that's the main thing. And then afterwards, for those touched, come forward, and then the rest of us, we have coffee and go home. In Stellenbosch, there was no coffee, so we had to go to Mug and Bean, to where the rest of the Father's children were hanging out and having coffee. But I want to say that actually, that's not the whole point. God wants us to relate as a family that we come to church to come to God, not just to hear the message of God, but actually primary focus is to connect to the Father in church, every one of us. And that's why many times I have to check myself, because especially for those involved, and you come to church and it takes you a while to get your mind at ease. And maybe in the last song, I'm like, oh yeah, yes, God is here. This is so cool. But actually, we had a friend, Johan Kalber, who was a pastor in Pretoria. And he always said to the worship team, he says, guys, I want you to arrive alive. Arrive alive, that means when the moment you walk into those doors, you're focused and you're connecting with the Father already, because that's why we come to church. Not to do anything, not to hear another teaching, but really just to connect and fellowship with the Father. So Sunday celebration service and our prayer meeting, specifically we have an inward prayer and an outward prayer. On Tuesday nights, we focus for whatever's in God's heart. And Friday mornings, we focus for whatever is in need in the body. We pray for every member in church by name. I want to say that the church has grown, but our prayer meeting hasn't really grown, which means it takes a while to read, to pray through the names. And we like doing that. I mean, Karen Marzan, everyone, Conrad, Jock, they're always there. But it just takes a while to pray for 36 names. So if we just have double the amount of people, then we just have to pray for 13. Oh, my maths is bad. If we're three times, I just want to encourage you guys to, as a cell, send someone from a cell to pray for the cell by name. See if you can do that. I know it's difficult. It's Friday morning. For the students, I want to encourage you specifically, please, the guys, Ilse and everyone, are starting to pray on a Monday morning, 6:30, yeah. And I encourage you just to join them for campus. It's fellowship with the Father, to talk to the Father for whatever's on the Father's heart. Okay. And then obviously we have consecration weekends and big celebration stuff. You can get a calendar at the back for those. I'm moving right along. Are you with me? Okay. You're listening so intently. It's beautiful. Growing up in His image. First of all, because it's the Father's house, we relate to God as our Father and we have fellowship with Him. Secondly, because it's God, the Father's house, the Bible says we should be perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus taught us and says, forgive everyone just as your Heavenly Father forgave. And Jesus says, give freely to everyone like your Heavenly Father does. So Jesus wants us to become like the Father. The word perfect in Greek literally means to be mature or fully grown. So for all of us, we have to become like the Father. That's the heart of God. And that's why God gives us the Word, the body of believers, and why God actually gives us His Spirit, is literally to become like the Father, to be perfect like the heaven, to be mature like the heaven, to grow up in righteousness. I can give many other biblical terms, but we all understand that we're saved and we are growing into perfection. Do we all understand that? So that's why, as a church, we have basic foundational series. Maybe the next slide. Spiritual growth series, foundations, where we grow up into righteousness. Two ways you can get involved in that way. First of all, if you haven't been there, please come and go through it. Grow up in righteousness. If you're visiting, please come and see what it's about. You're welcome just to sit in. You don't have, nothing is expected from you. You're welcome just to see whether this is your house and meet the Father there. And secondly, thank you for so many. We have so many volunteers, but if you also want to volunteer, to become a minister, to grow up and like Christ, set the captives free, and like Christ, bring healing to the brokenhearted, and like Christ, to share the gospel with all people, you're welcome to also become just a facilitator, to actually grow up and like that. Then also, you're welcome to sign up at the back there where Yaku is flexing his pecs at the back. Yaku, yeah, you can see your gym. And then Bible school, starting on the 9th of February. It's really great. It's a place where you really start thinking. The four core purpose of Bible school, we had a meeting with the teachers this week on Tuesday, and I was so excited after that. But we have four basic purposes, core values with the Bible school. First of us was in Bible school, we propose that we can relate to God as sons of God. Secondly, in Bible school, because we relate to God, we become like Christ. Thirdly, the reason why we do Bible school is like in becoming like Christ, we start thinking like Jesus to get to know how God thinks, how God evaluates stuff. Romans chapter 2, let our minds be transformed. And lastly, the last purpose of Bible school, in growing up like Christ, we should be able to do his works, to do what he does. So that's nice. Relating, being, thinking, and doing. That's the purpose of Bible school. Growing up into the image of God, to become like the Father. Arkina sefarki. And then, that just sounds wrong in English. Bible school, the last one is just discipleship, relationship. If you're new here, even if you're not new here, you can become like Jesus by either being discipled or making a disciple with the, what did Jesus do? What would Jesus do walking with Jesus? That was moeilijk. Walking with Jesus books. I'd like to encourage you. So many of you are doing it and did it last year. If you were discipled by someone last year, if you had a disciple, means literally just for a period of 40 days or 3 months, you just walk a road with this person and teach them everything you know, and you use the book and the cell as a basis for your relationship. So if you have been discipled last year, I want to encourage you, just get a friend in cell that you can actually just disciple. And so then that way you become like God the Father. And lastly, outreaches, another time we can actually share about that. Then, third of the four applications of tonight's sermon. Third one is because this is our Father's house. God wants us to relate to the brothers and the sisters in church. And I'm so blessed by so many of you that really got locked into church so quickly and grew up to look like Jesus so quickly because of the friendships. I'm so blessed by the friendships in the cells. I'm really blessed. I can see you afterwards. You forget about the new people because you talk to one another, and I'm glad that relationship is there. I'm really glad that relationship is there. That you actually have become friends, because it's quite pointless becoming a believer and then going through life alone. God never intended that. You're welcome in the Father's house. The scripture there, I just want to quote, but the Bible says so beautifully that God has made us all accepted in the beloved, that God has made us to be welcome in the house. That God says, you are my son, you're welcome in my house, you're welcome to my fridge, you're welcome to whatever is in my house. I really want you to have that freedom in expression in church. And how do we grow in that? How do we grow into the Father's house? Well, first of all, and primarily, it's just through our small groups, the cell groups. So if you're visiting tonight, or maybe you've been visiting for a while, but you're still following Jesus like the Lone Ranger, or like Rambo, or like Rocky, people by themselves out there. That is the modern era. We're beyond that now. Those are old movies. The new movies are all Band of Brothers, and they're all those type of stuff, Friends, and bad relationship, bad example, but I just mean that God relates to us as a family. And I really like you, because the best way to actually grow in Christ-likeness and grow up to be like God is by having friends and really allowing them to shape your life. And that's where the Bible says it's so beautiful and beautiful when brothers dwell together in unity, because there God commands, the Father commands his blessing, and there's life, a place where you belong, a place where you're really welcome, where you know. And we have many social camps and stuff, and I see that the emails for the Swartrit camp and everything is going out. I'm busy, I'm so sorry, I won't be able to be there. But guys, I really like you just to become part of the family. And then lastly, like we just shared there in the end, this is our Father's house, and I'd like you to have the freedom to bring your friends home. Bring your friends home. If you have a healthy home, then all your friends are welcome in your home. we have a few friends, Magriet and I, and Dr. Herkie, wat hier so doseer. Amazing. Their house, and Albert, a friend of ours in Pretoria, they have 4 kids, both the families, and there are always like 20 kids in the house because everyone always likes to be in their house because they feel welcome. And I'd like our church to be like that, that everyone is welcome in our Father's house, that no one is left behind, no one is left outside. Everyone who comes in feels the love of the Father, and not just in the fact that there's a spirit of God who calls them, but really because of the relationship that we have with one another, that you include them. Israel had such beautiful Old Testament culture, gewoontes, that whenever someone would walk into a city, that person would never ever sleep outside, because as soon as they come in, it is the duty for everyone to welcome them into their houses. It's an honor to welcome strangers, and that's really God's heart. It's an honor to welcome strangers. It's an honor for someone to receive someone who is not of the tribe. You're welcome in our house. Please come and experience the fullness and the grace and the love of God in our house. How do we do that? Well, practically, obviously apart from just our cell groups and our church Sundays and perspective, our first of all spiritual course, we invite them to what we're doing, whatever we're doing. And if you have someone who's really anti-religion, mostly because they got so hurt in church in the past, please invite them to the social bits. Because I want to really say that, and I really mean this, I would become a Christian if I weren't, quite simply because of many of you. Because you are so nice, and you're so loving, and I can see your life being touched by God every week. So I would become like you. I would like to belong to you. And it's fun. I really want to say it's fun for people to come and to experience the love of God and the grace of God. And then say, listen, I don't know when this happened, but I actually feel like part of the family. I want to meet the father of the family now. Take me home. And then you do that in a conversation. I really want to encourage you guys. Draw people in with your love. But specifically, I don't want you to steal other sheep from other families. Many other kinders gaan steal. Hulle is by die vader. Father's heart is for those who isn't with him, to invite them home to the Father as well. So you're welcome. I want to encourage you guys to join us for the outreaches. Weekend outreaches in April, there will be 2. We're going to go to 5 different venues. We're going to go to Springbok. We're most probably going to go to Ladysmith. We're most probably going to go to Prince Albert again. And then also to George. And then also to Bloemfontein. And maybe to Durban. So we'll go to many of those over the 3 long weekends. We'll send 5 teams from the 4 Cape Town churches. So I want you to, if it's possible, it's a long weekend, specifically for those working, welcome to join us. There'll be other outreach opportunities. We're going to have 2 leadership youth camps in June, soccer World Cup camps. You're welcome to rent out your house for those 2 weeks for 13,000 rand a day, and then join us for 250 rand for the week. It's a grappie, that's not the price really, but for you maybe, because you're family, we can give you a discount. Yeah, I want to welcome you guys. We're going to go, we have many relating and outreach stuff. I want you to please join Jacques and the guys for the hospital outreach, maybe just once or twice. And then lastly, the last thing I just want to mention, I think it's there, the orphanage upgrades. Thank you, Danielle Mankies. She has connected us with quite a few orphanages in the area. And the cells, once a semester, we want you guys just as a zone to group together, and then we're going to paint an orphanage or just a room or fix the doors and stuff like that, just to actually reach to really God is the father of the orphan and the widow and the stranger. So really just to be practical, God, you are the father of the orphans. We're going to go to the orphans. And God, thank you for that program, but at least let us show your love by, let's just paint the place, make it nice, make it feel like home for them. So we're going to do that, and we're already arranging those things. That's practically for tonight. Don't you want to stand with us, please? The whole purpose of tonight is just to tell us, remind us that God is your Father, and God specifically is the God who loves you immensely. And then from that, this is the Father's house, and I belong to the Father's house. I really want to say, I don't know who you are, where you come from. I really want to say you are welcome in the Father's house. God the Father really loves you. He knows about you, and he's your father personally. He fathers you personally. At the end of Jacob's life, after lots of journeys, after having 12 kids, Jacob in the Bible, having 12 sons plus a daughter, He ended up in Egypt with his son Joseph. And after blessing his grandchildren and everyone, he was just before he was about to die, he had such a beautiful closure to his life. He says, just after he blessed all his sons, he says, "Now God, you've been my father and you've been the shepherd all the days of my life." I love that. God was my father all the days of my life. God is always your father and is always watching out for you. He's always providing, always protecting, always giving you. He's the one who gives you identity and your purpose. And he's the one who steers and corrects you and disciplines you in love because he loves you so much. Father, we thank you for that, God. We thank you that you love us, God. I really thank you, God, that you know my name, that you know our names, God. I thank you that you know my future, that you know our futures, God. I thank you, Father, that you've included us in your family by your awesome love, God, and that actually cost you a lot. I thank you, Lord, that you redeemed me to yourself, God, at the cost of your firstborn son to buy me back into sonship, God. I thank you for that. I thank you tonight, God, that I've been brought near to you, Father, that, Lord, I've been reconciled to you, and I have an open access to you always through your Spirit, God, which lives inside of me. I thank you that you are my Father. And God, I pray for these lovely people, God, your sons and your daughters from all ages. I thank you, God, doesn't matter how old we become, that we are still your children. And you relate to us as your children, God. So tonight, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that by your Spirit and by your word and by the friendship, God, that you've given us, that you'll reveal your Father heart to us, to each one of us individually, in Jesus' name. As we're closing, you're welcome. Your eyes can be open. It's fine. I just want to invite you to a few things now. First of all, if there's anyone here tonight and you feel like the prodigal son, you feel out there so distant from the Father and you really feel dirty and you don't relate to the Father, you sort of long for the Father in a personal sense, I want to invite you to please, guys, please come to the Father tonight. Make a resolve, a decision like the Father did to walk home. And it's an easy thing. It's not a far distance. It might take you a while to complete recovery because the Father is going to do some work in you. But it's a very simple thing, just to say, come with the words of the prodigal son. Say, "Father, I messed up, I sinned against you. And Father, please receive me back. I'm coming home to serve you." Very simple prayer. Forgive me, and then the Father will cleanse you, give you authority, and there'll be a massive party in heaven, the Bible says. There'll be a massive celebration, and we'll have some friends celebrate with you. They'll take you out for food and lunch, maybe something practical, just to celebrate the fact that you've come home to the Father. I want to invite you. You can do that after we close the service. Please come forward. Don't leave and make it for another date. If you feel the Father's calling you home, come home today. Secondly, for those of you who are sons and daughters of God, and you know that because you have a relationship with God, but you never have the confidence to come to God because you always, like Neil said, you always feel that you're not good enough in a sense, that you must do some stuff. We'd like to pray with you just for a spirit of adoption tonight, that you can have that assurance that I am a son of God and I'm always welcome, that the Holy Spirit will testify that you don't have to do anything. You are a son of God. And then lastly, I want to invite you guys just to actually become part of the household of God, to become sons in the house. It's an invitation. We have enough people, but I want to invite you to please become part of God's family. See where there's a place where you can serve. If you're not exactly sure, then try something. Try whatever there is. But just because family really, if you had a healthy family, then all of us had a healthy family because we had some tasks at home to do, something small. We always had to pick up the dog's stuff, onder andere, and we had to do the dishes, and I'm still doing the dishes because it's just something that I do. I feel part in my home because I do that. I don't want a washing machine, I want to do it myself, a dishwasher. I really like doing it because it's my house. That same thing, taking ownership like the word we received tonight. This is our Father's house, and therefore this is something which I do. Okay, if you're visiting tonight and you'd like to actually visit a small group, please do.